Okay, let's take it right from the beginning. So I'm going to read through the whole pasuk before we say anything on it, before we touch it, because we should read the whole pasuk at once. Vayi shvayta shayfetim vayira baretz vayelech ish mibeis lechem yudo lagur b'stei mayav uvishtayu shnei banav. It was in the days of the shvayta shayfetim. So the first of all, who wrote Sefer Rus? The Gemara says in Babasa Shmuel Anavi wrote Sefer Rus. Now, B'chlau, we're not going to be marich on this at all, but we know that Torah is divided, Torah Shemiksav is divided into three parts. Chumash, Hamisha Chumashay Torah, Navi, and Ksuvim. Rus, even though it's written by Shmuel and Navi, but it's not part of Nevi'im, it's part of Ksuvim, which is, according to most, a slightly lower level of Nevuah. Right, called Ruach HaKadosh, but it's not the Chafetz Chaim's Ruach HaKadosh. It's a different type of Ruach HaKadosh, it's Nevuah. So the Navi tells us that it was Bimei Shvaita Shoifted, in the days of the judging of the judges. So it's certainly telling us, and the Pasha Pshat, certainly telling us that it took place, this story of Rus took place during this man, or we call this man of the Shoifted. Right? History, Klal Yisrael's history is divided basically into after they came to Eretz Yisrael, this man of the Shoifted, this man of Bayis Rishon, Golus Rishon, Golus Bavel, then Bayis Sheni, and then afterwards. So this is this man of the Shoiftim. The Mishkan at this time is in Shiloh, and this man of the Shoiftim lasted for about 400 years. So it doesn't really narrow it down too much. Over 400 years, like we say, the joke is modern Jewish history is about 100 years longer than the entire American history. Right, so this is 400 years is a short time in the overall Jewish history, but it's quite a long time, quite a long amount of time. Chazal tell us that Boaz, who doesn't appear until the second parak, but Boaz is one of the Shoiftim. Now, if you go through Sefer Shoiftim, you won't see a Shoiftim called Boaz, but his name is, the Chazal say Boaz is Ibtzon. Ibtzon is Boaz, which is towards the end of this man of the Shoiftim, about 100 years before the end of his man of the Shoiftim. There is other midrashim. There are other midrashim that it was in the time of Eglon, in the time of Devaira. The different midrashim. Exactly when in this man of the Shoiftim this story took place. But the Gemara learns that, and Rashi brings it right over here in the next pasuk, that Boaz is Ibtza. That would lead to problems. We'll see as we go through. But Chazal say also, Bimei Shvaita Shoiftim is a funny lashon, right? Bizman HaShoiftim, Bimei HaShoifet. What's Shvaita Shoiftim? The judging of the judges. Because at that time, so at least the way the Gemara says is that there was a Darsha Shoifet HaShoifta that judged its judges. Meaning, with the Gemara, when somebody would say, Tel Kisei Mibein Shinecha, take a toothpick, take a splinter from between your teeth, so the person will respond, Tel Kairim Ibein Einecha, take a beam from between your eyes, meaning you're the one giving me Musar, you're much worse than me. So there was nobody in charge, there was nobody who was leading the dart. So the question is whether this is, there was, the way the Malbim learns, this was a tkufa that there was no Shaifet, it was between Shaiftim. Either way, it was a tkufa that there was some level of Hefkerus, and there was nobody that was in charge, and that's what led to Elimelech doing what he did. Ibsan, just to put it in context, Ibsan was a shayfet, the pasuk says, for 7 years. So this story took place, that Elimelech left at least 10 years before Boaz died, because at the end of this, they're in Maya for 10 years. So it's either between the shayfet before, who was Yiftach, or it's even on the Yiftach, it was a Dar Sheshayvet Sheshayvta. But at that time, there was a famine in the land. So they bring a medrash that there was a famine in the land. Whenever there's a famine of Torah, there's going to be a famine of bread. So therefore, over here was a Dar Sheshayvet Sheshayvta, Memela, there was no Torah, Memela, there was a real famine. Or maybe that's the real famine, whichever it was. But whatever it is. But Vayhi Rabbars, there was a famine in the land. Vayelech Ishmi, Beis Lechem Yehuda. And there was a man that went from Beis Lechem Yehuda. Beis Lechem is a city in the land of Shevet Yehuda. Lagor B'stei Mayav, to dwell in the fields of Mayav. Hu V'ishtai U'shnei Banav. He, his wife, and his two sons. So first of all, we know from Chumash, Lagur is a Lashon, we find it by Avraham Avinu and by Yaakov, they went Lagur. Lagur is not the same level of living in a place as the Lashon, let's say, Leishev, right, to live there. So he didn't go to stay there, everybody's medayik this, he didn't go to stay there, he went Lagur b'stei mayav, he went to stay temporarily while there was a famine in Eretz Yisrael, he went to go to the fields of mayav, and he brought along him, his wife, and his two sons. So it's on the Mashmai, he says, why do you have to say it like that? Hu v'ishtai u'shnei banav. It's telling you, number one, that they were the only ones that went. Other people did not leave Eretz Yisrael, even though there was a famine. And second of all, it sounds like he was the Iker. And it was him and his wife and two sons. That, you know, they came along with him rather than them being mitchila and some sort of impetus for going. Now Rashi brings over here, he brings some of what we just said, but he says, v'fnei melach melach shol. Right, it was before the first Melech, which was with the Shol. Shayu Dairis Misparns and Aide Shaiftim. The generations got Parnasa through the Shaiftim. They were led by Shaiftim. We may Ivtson Hayir, Rashi brings it was Ivtson. Shamar Rabbi saying Ivtson Zabais, right? So, but it wasn't yet. When Rashi says it, it can't mean that it was this story started during the days of Ivtson. Ivtson was only a Shaifer for 7 years. I mean, obviously Ivtson was alive. He was probably from the Gedalei Adar for many, many years before. But he wasn't a shayfa yet. If Ivtson is bais, vayelech ish, Rashi says asher gadol hayid uparnis adar. He was a tremendous asher, and he was somebody who led the generation. Viyotzem eretz yisrael lechutzars neitzarus ayin shahisa ein neitzarav aniim. Rashi brings he was stingy, and therefore he didn't want to give aniim abam ledeicha. He was aniim were lining up by his door, and he didn't want to deal with them. Lekach nenash. That's why he was punished. Now this Rashi is a pella because the Gemara gives two reasons why he was punished, and this is neither one, right? The Gemara says either he was punished because he left Eretz Yisrael, and you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. That's a whole discussion in the Paiskim, when a person is allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael, when he's not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan argues over there, Rabbi Yochanan says he was allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. It was a famine, and the Gemara gives Gedarim of how big a famine it has to be in order to be able to leave Eretz Yisrael, but the Gemara says he was allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says another reason he was punished because he should have davened for his generation. He didn't daven for them. Shayaloi lispalo al dairei, and he wasn't. In other words, the Gdaila Yisrael, that's like we find those Lermakis, right? The Kain Gadol is responsible for not being mispalo for his generation. So the Gdaila must machuiv to be mispalo. The Gemara there brings the vice of Rabbi Shulban Levi. Somebody died in his neighborhood, and Elio didn't come to visit him anymore because. He had, at least he's responsible for his neighborhood. The Gdaili is all responsible. So he should have davened for his generation, and he didn't. Rashi here is saying neither pshat. Rashi here is saying because he left. The reason he left was because he was the tzarai, and he was stingy, and that's why he didn't want to deal with people. You have to know why didn't he disappoint the gabbai? In other words, he didn't want to spend his money on them. That's one thing, right? The ba'il adaychai, they were knocking on his door. So there were a lot of gvirim to mizman hazeh, right? What they do is, you know, unfortunately, it's a full time job. You know, we once sent to there's a certain gvir who has a policy. Right? You have to send him a letter, the whole thing. So you get back the first time you send him, maybe every time, I don't know. You get back a letter that he deals. I think the number where he wrote over there that he gets 3,600 requests for tzedakah a year. So if people are going to send more than one letter, he can't deal with it. So therefore, he has this policy: if you can't, don't, you know, you'll get your check. Don't keep sending and don't keep nudging. There's no way to do it, right? And he has obviously a gabbai who takes care of it. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to make the money in order to give the tzedakah. But that's, you know, but in those days, people had to line up by the door. So it was a few hundred people, but whatever it was, right? He didn't want to deal with the daichik, so he left town. Right, he went next door to Eretz Yisrael. He went to the fields of Mayav. Even there, they're Medayik. He didn't go to there's a Medrash. He went to the city, and in the city there was priests. So he left the city, and he went to the fields. But the way the Pasuk says it straight is he went to the fields. He went to the fields of Mayav. He wasn't hanging around with the Mayav people. He just wanted to leave Eretz Yisrael. Him and his wife and his two children. B'shem o'ish elimelech v'shem ishtoi nami v'shem shnei v'nav machlaim b'chil yoy nefrosim imi b'yis lechem yudo v'yavayu stei mayov v'yiyu shom. The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons were Machlin and Kilyoy and Ephrosim. Rashi thinks Ephrosim means Chashuvim.
Like, in our maps, where is it?
Oh, in our maps? Our maps, it's east. For those who don't know, east is right. Right? Now, if you're facing, if your map has north on the top and south on the bottom, right, so east is to the right and left is west. Right, so if you're facing Eretz Yisrael, those who have some general picture, if we had the art school, I think they have a general map. Whatever, maybe I'll bring it next time. But the on the left side of Eretz Yisrael, again, if with north on the top and south on the bottom, that's how people are used to looking at maps. So you have the Mediterranean Sea is on your left, right? That's west. That's Yom. Yom is another word for west, also besides being a sea. Right, to the right is the Yarden. That's the present border of Eretz Yisrael is the Jordan River, right? And over this, the Yarden is Eber HaYarden, surprisingly enough, right? Eber HaYarden, the north part of Eber HaYarden was part of Eretz Yisrael. It was where Reuven got and Chatzisheva Menashe got. If you go a little south on Eber HaYarden, so that's where Mayav, first is Amain, then Mayav, and then Edom. That's
part of Jordan nowadays?
It's part of Jordan nowadays, yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's far as south as yeah, it's part of Jordan. Part of Jordan. Right. So that's where Mayav is. So it's right next to Eretz Yisrael. It's really. So he went, and again, the man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name was Naomi, the two sons were Machlon and Kilion. I don't know why he needs to say shame. Why didn't it say V'ha'ishay Elimelech, V'ishay Naomi, I don't know. And the Gemara says Machlin and Kilyon, it gives Darshan's terrible things about their names, right? They were from Beis Lechem Yehuda, and they came to the fields of Mayav, and they were there. So who is this? First of all, Rashi brings Ephrosim as Chashuvim. V'chein, ben Chaychay, ben Tzuf Ephrosi. Okay, brings another, we see the word Ephros. Reich HaShivusay, Sharei Heisi Egloi Melech Mayim. From the story itself, Zog Rashi, you see how chashav he was. Sharei heisi egloi melech mayav es bitoi lemachloin. But Egloin, the king of Mayav, married his daughter to Elimelech's son, to Machloin. Damar mar, the Gemara says, Rus, bitoi shal egloin haisa. Rus was the daughter of Egloin. Davar acher, Ephrosim, Beis Lechem, Kruya Ephros. Beis Lechem is called Ephros, so Ephrosim means they were from Beis Lechem. Okay, but let's go with the first pshat here. So, Dr. Vashi, they were chashuvim. Why were they chashuvim? You see from the story itself, because Eglon, the king of Mayav, married his daughter to Machlon. Now this itself is an issue. First of all, I don't know why Rashi brings he married his daughter to Machlon. He had two daughters in the story, right? Rus and Naomi, Rus and Orpah, and he married both of them, one to Machlon and one to Kilion. Okay, but that's not Maharu and Rashi. But first of all, Rashi is being meramis to a Gemara here. It's a very sizable Gemara, very, very important Gemara. The Gemara says, "La'ilam yomayid adam tayrish alay lishma shemitay because b'schus and la'ilam I'm sorry la'ilam yaseig adam tayrish mitzvah alay lishma shebeschus membeis karbanai shehikriv balak melach mayav zacha v'yatzem imenu rus the amar mar rus bitay shalag loy ben benay shal balak melach mayav." As the Gemara says in at least three places, the Gemara says that a person should do tayrish mitzvah even shalay lishma. Because you see, Balak brought karbanos. If you go through the parsha where he's trying to get Bilam to curse Klal Yisrael, he brings 42 karbanos in the parsha. He brought 42 karbanos, and he was zeicha that he had an einikol named Eglon, because Eglon is ben benai shel Balak, and Balak and Eglon had a daughter named Rus. So Zakti Gemara, the schus of bringing these 42 karbanos, even shalay lishma, right? What was the shalay lishma? What was he trying to do, Balak? He was trying to kill Klal Yisrael. He was trying to get Bilam to curse Klal Yisrael and try to get the curses listened to in Shemayim. So, Bishchus, the 42 karbanos he brought, he was zeicha to Eglon, who had a son, who had a daughter, Rus. Rus came from Balak, and that's Bishchus, the karbanos that he brought, Shalai Lishma, he was zeicha to this. So that's where Rashi's being meramis to here. The Gemara says that Rus was bitai shel Eglon, right? Was the daughter of Eglon. Now, Rashi is using that for a different point. you see that Rus was the daughter of Eglon. She was the princess. If she was the princess, then obviously Elimelech is not Stam a Yukul who happened to move to to Mayav, but he was the kings only marry their daughters to Chashuva people. Now that assumes that when Chazal say that Rus was Bitay Shel Eglon, she was actually his daughter. And first of all, there's another girsa in some of the Gemaras, not in all of them, but that she was Bas Benoy Shel Eglon. She was the granddaughter of Eglon. Okay, but that already, you know, but the problem is if it's Ifzan, we have a very big problem, right? The Chayr, it's a stira in the Rashis. Because there's 200 years, at least, between Eglon and Ifzan. Eglon, again, was the king of Mayav, and the one of the Shaiftim, I don't know if anybody here ever learned Shaiftim, or everybody learned Shaiftim, whatever, but there's a story in the Shaiftim. One of the Shaiftim is Eyud ben Gera. Eyud ben Gera, the whole story in the Navi, he was a lefty, and he's the one who killed Eglon. Eglon was very fat, and he came, and he said he has a Dvar Hashem, and Eglon stood up, and he pulled out the sword from because he hit it on the wrong side. Right? If you're righty, you put your sword on the left side. I only know that from the Navi. I don't know that from anywhere else. But if you're a lefty, you put your sword on the right side. I guess it makes sense, right? Right? So, but they only inspected his left side, not his right side, and he pulled it out and he killed Eglon. So Ehud ben Gera killed Eglon, and if you make a cheshbon through all the years in Shaiftim, it's about 200 years. It dropped more than 200 years from Eglon to, from Ehud to Ifzah. So if Rus was the daughter of Eglon, the actual daughter of Eglon, number one, you have two problems with the Rashi. One is, that means she's about 200 years old, right? Which is interesting, possible. But, you know, we find other people in those Kufas that live a very long time. And we'll point out in a minute that somebody in the story had to live a very long time. But that would be one problem. Also, Eglon was long dead. Whatever you're going to say, Eglon was long dead. So what's the chashivas exactly that he didn't marry off his daughter? Whoever was his great-great-grandson, who was the king of Mayav at the time, married his great-great-great-aunt to Elimelech. I'm not sure how chashiv you have to be in order to be I don't even know what that's called in the Seder Hamalucha, but I don't know how chashiv you have to be in order for that. Now, if you're going to go with the other chazal, and that Rus, the story took place much earlier, then it works out that she's Bitei Shel Eglon. But Rashi just brought two Rashis ago that Ifzan is biased. So one way or another, we have a shtickle problem. Now, so let's be ma'ira some of the other problems here with the timing. Because the if you look in the last psukim, the last few psukim, in the Megillah, so it lists the whole Yichus from Nachshon ben Aminadav until David HaMelech. Right, that's really what at least where the whole Sefer Rus is going. Right, we know that David HaMelech comes from Bayez and from Rus. So it says the order is. I mean, let's look at the last three psukim. Aminadav hailed as Nachshon hailed as Salma in hailed as Bayez hailed as Ivid hailed as Ishai hailed as David. Okay, that's the order. So Aminadav Nachshon ben Aminadav, very famous in Chazal. He's the one who jumps into the Yamsa first. Okay, so Nachshon and Aminadav is around by Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, David is born 403 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, 403 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim. One way to remember that is Mefurish in the Pasuk that the Beis Hamikdash was built 480 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's a Mefurish Pasuk in the beginning of Malachim. Okay, and David was born. David was 70 years old, so he died at 70. And Shlaima built the Beis Hamikdash 3 years into his malchus. Okay, so that's 73 years. So 480 minus 70, 73. I'm sorry, what did I say? 403, 407. Right, 407 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim, David HaMelech is born. Okay, so from Nachshon until David is born, we have 470 years, and we have five generations. Right? I mean, other Eilat is Nachshon. So we have Nachshon Eilat is Salma. Salma and Eilat is Bayaz, who's the main person in the story of Rus. Right, Bayaz Eilat is Ivid Eilat is Ishai. So there's five generations, right, until David is born. And we have 407 years. So everybody's averaging, right, probably about 100 years old when they have their son. So that's a little interesting, right? Or somebody was 350 and everybody else was a regular age when they had their son. One of the issues in the story, one of the dating in the story is interesting, right? That's it's a horror. I don't know what. Now, this is This is not a chazal, this is not a medrash, this is just putting the psukim together, right? That's mefurish and the psukim in ages, so we're going to have to deal with that regardless. So if Bayaz was 200 and Rus was 200, it's a gevaldige shidduch. But, you know, it's interesting, right? Hamaisa Taisa says in Nazir, this time keep it in mind, that Rus was a ktana. When she was born, he learns Bita Shalegloin, and he learns that she was displaced on the Cheshbon, and he says, it's a Taka Gemara Yevamis. The Pasuk says later, Timaskurtech Shlema, right? The Bayaz gives the Rus a bracha, she says, your schar should be Shlema, right? She did for joining Klal Yisrael and for taking care of your mother-in-law. So the Gemara says in Yevamis, why do Geirim have Tsaris Bezman Hazeh? Because they pushed off their Geiris. They should have been Megayer earlier. Any Geir, almost, come on, right, before, between the time he decides to become a ger, and he actually becomes a ger, there's some amount of time. So they're punished for delaying. That's what the Gemara says. So Maskorte Shleima Zaktaisis, obviously she didn't delay at all. How could that be? Must be she was a ketana when she married Machlein. Right, that's Taisis. Right, that's Taisis. So I don't know how you put all these numbers together. Right, either she was 200 or she was a ketana. It's gonna be a mavuka. But one way or another, there's something funny with the ages over here. Okay, but Lamaisa, at the end of the day, Dr. Rashi, Elimelech was a very chash of a person, and he married into the family of the kings of Mayav. Again, the way Rashi's learning, Mamish, the daughter of Eglon. Vayomos Elimelech Ishnami. I switched to the Navi Nigin, whatever. But Elimelech died, the husband of Naomi, the man of Naomi, and she and her two sons were left. So Rashi brings, what's this funny lashon? Ish Naomi, right? Dr. Rashi, Laman Emri, Kana Amru, Ein Ish Meis El Ishtain. A husband dies only for his wife, meaning the one who feels the effects of somebody dying the most is a wife. The wife, right? The children feel it, obviously, the other family members, but the wife feels the absence of her husband the most. So when it says, right, in other words, for her, it was her whole world. He and she was left, and her two sons. They were left alone in Mayav. My Yisula, no shame, my Avio, shame, achas or po, Mishame, Ashenis, Rus, Vayeshu, Shom, Keser, Shonim. And they married, no shame, my Avios. Now, during the lifetime of Elimelech, this didn't cross their minds, right? But now that Elimelech is dead, so the Machlin and Kilian married two, my Avios. One's name was Arpa, and one's name was Rus. And they lived there. Now it's not Lagurshom, like we said before, right? When Elimelech came, it was only Lagurshom to stay there temporarily. They were Vayeshusham. They lived there. They were already becoming acclimated. They lived there Ke'esershonim, about 10 years. Interesting. Ke'esershonim. So here, the Chazal say that they became, I don't know if they were with Mitchila, but the Machlin and Kilian became Rishayim. They were Kilyon is a lashon destruction. Machlein is a lashon of chayli. Chayli is a lashon either of sickness or holes, right? Chalalim. But there's a Gemara Babasar. But Lamaisa, they married Nosha Mayavia. So this really, and the Chazal learned this is a key nekuda in the whole story of what's going on, because First of all, what this Chazal and why they had to end up in Mayav in the first place. But when they come back and one of the relatives doesn't want to marry Rus and the other one does, what Bayez does want to marry Rus, and what exactly the Diyan was. So Chazal learned that what was going on was because they were Nashim Mayavis. We know the Pasuk says La Yavai Amayni Amayavi Bekal Hashem. Amayni or Amayavi can't marry a ger. That's a Ma'ini or Ma'avi, not allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. But the Gemara says we have a drasha of Ma'ini v'lay Ma'inis, Ma'avi v'lay Ma'avis, that a female Ma'ini or a female Ma'avi is allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. Again, we're talking after their Geirim. So here they married Nasha Ma'aviyais, and either it's a Taina because it was not Mefursim, this drasha yet, or it's not a taina. They knew this drasha. That itself is maybe up for a shaila. But either way, this is setting in motion this issue of mayavias. It's mefurish in the pasuk that they were mayavias. So nayashim mayavias, shem achas arba v'shem hashen isrus. Oh, okay. So I was going to wait for that din, but Rabbi Daskal is bringing it up right now. So let's put out the problem. Right, this is a problem. I've heard many solutions, but I never heard a solution that is in the siyashiv al aleif. Right, we have a problem over here. First of all, the pasuk describes it by Yisulahem. They married them. Right, so if they married them, that would sound like that they were geirim. And bechlal, one of the ways I saw it is, okay, how could it be that they wouldn't be megayer them? They stam marry mayavias. That would be a pellet. Okay, I'm not sure they were Rishayim, and at the end of the day, they were Rishayim. We find other tainus on them. I'm not sure if that would be the issue. But there's a much bigger issue. And that is like this. Maman of Shach. We see that when they're coming along with Nami and a few more psukim, which is where I was going to wait for it, but when they're coming along with Nami and a few more psukim, Nami tries to convince them to go back. If they were Gerim, then she should not have tried to convince them to go back. And as a matter of fact, we learn many of the Hilchos Gerus from what she told them. You know, she tried to convince them, it sounds like, not to become Geirim. So it sounds like they weren't Geirim. So that sounds like they were not Yidden. On the other hand, the whole story revolves around the fact that whoever marries Rus is A, doing Yibum, or some form of Yibum, which we'll have to discuss what that Yibum is, but is doing some form of Yibum, and will get the Yerusha of Machlein. Now, Machlein, if Machlein was married to a Gaita, then he wasn't married to her. She has no halachic standing as his wife. So, Mimanavshach, right? If they were Geirim already, so why is Naomi trying to convince them to go back? If they weren't Geirim already, then the whole story goes out the window because she was never married to Machlein. So that is the site of the problem. Maybe we'll try a solution or two, but none of them at least sit on... Yeah, I set you up for that. In my notes, I was looking to see if I have one note on Rus. I have a file on Rus, but it only has one note in it. That's the note that maybe that'll be a yishuv, right, the sugi of Ger Katan. But it's not, you know. Yeah, first of all, that's itself shver. Right? I mean, the taisis is the taisis, but I'm saying Lamai said shver, like we just said. Many mafarshim are not going to be able to learn that way that they were tanim, and even if they were tanim, it becomes very difficult. Right. Yeah. Okay, but that's maybe we'll when we get to the Geirus part of it, we'll talk about that because it was Shaila what she was convincing them not to do. That might work. We'll feed that. Very good. All right, but Lamaisa, that's the problem of the Geirus. Meman of Shach, right? If they weren't Geirim, then what's Nami doing? If they were Geirim, then what's the whole story? If they were Geirim, then what's Nami trying to convince them to go back? And if they weren't Geirim, then what's the whole story of the Yibum and the Yerusha, etc. Okay, well let's see one more pasuk. Vayomu sugam shneihem achlei michil yalim atisha era isha mishnei yaladeu meisha. So they both died, Machlein and Kilyon. It sounds like I think the hadgash here doesn't just say they died. It says their names, right? I think it's being madish. Each one deserved to die, right? That's not vayomu. So atisha era isha, and the woman was left. Mishnei Yoladel Meisha, from her two children and from her husband, meaning from the group she was the one left. Not that she was left alone. That's a different word, right? But here, she was left from them, meaning they were a group, and now she was the one left from the group. About talk about. All right, maybe we'll stop here.